In Psalms 103 and verse 1, we see David worshiping the Lord, and those are the ones that the Father is seeking, and we need to be a part of that. So we need to understand more fully how to worship the Lord. David loved to worship God. And the question is it possible for us to bless the Lord's name? Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Can we bless his holy name, and what would we do that? It's interesting that this word in the Hebrew is 1288, which literally means to kneel. And of course, we can take that in a literal sense or a figurative sense. And of course, in a physical sense, we would kneel on our knees. In a spiritual sense, we would humble ourselves before Him. So we can bless the Lord, humble ourselves before the Lord, and we can humble ourselves before His holy name. And His name here, of course, is the authority that He has. And in the Old Testament, the Father had all the authority. In the New Testament, he's given all that authority to the Son, as Brother John mentioned this morning, or actually read from the scriptures this morning. So, those who receive his authority will humble themselves or bless the Lord for his great power and might. And through the eyes of faith, we can see this great power and this great might. In Psalms 103, verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. So David now is wanting to worship with his soul. And he says, forget not all of his blessing. So this kind of worship here centers on God's benefits to man. And in the remainder of this psalm, God uses David to list many of the benefits that he gives us, that we can worship him and be thankful for. So we're not born knowing how to worship God. We have to grow in our understanding and ability. So we need to learn more on how to worship God. And who would the Lord use more to show his praise than the man after his own heart? David was a man after his own heart. We'll not look at that, but Acts 13, 22. David, the son of Jesse, was a man after God's own heart, and notice which shall fulfill all my will. So, except for one great sin, David did fulfill all of God's will. So, who would be better fit for God to use to show us how to worship him? So, David himself definitely qualified for the kind of man God seeks to worship him. So the Lord uses David to write the Psalms, most of them, which are full of worship to God. Let's turn to Psalms 33, verse 1 for a moment. Psalms 33 and verse 1. It is suitable for the righteous and the upright to praise God. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely, that is beautiful, for the upright, and that is the ones who walk levelly, which is obedience. So praise is beautiful for those that obey God. Now we may not be persuaded that we are righteous or upright, but will he not make us more righteous and upright if we seek him, especially in worshiping him? In Psalms 50, verse 16, it is not right for the unbeliever to even put God's words in his mouth. It's not fitting. It's not right. Verse 16, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or what, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind thee? So here, those that don't obey the commands of God don't even have a right to take God's statutes or his covenant in their mouth. And of course, it's pure hypocrisy. So what right did the Pharisee have to take God's covenant in his mouth. And of course, he had no right at all. In Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse 8, Proverbs 15 and verse 8, we have a right to take God's word and God's covenant in our mouth if we are seeking him to do his will. Proverbs 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Now, we may not understand that, but nevertheless, is it true? The prayer of the upright, that's the ones that are walking according to God's law, is his delight. He desires the very best for us, especially if we obey his commandments. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 19 through 21, 1 John 3, 19, our hope is surely in the God of heaven who encourages us. And hereby know we that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So he's allowing then that his children will have hearts that condemn them. But we all need to remember God is greater than our hearts, even if our heart condemns us, because he knows everything and he wants the best for us. In Psalms 34, verse 17, even if we've done wrong, God hears when we repent. Psalms 34, 17 to 19. The righteous cry and the Lord hears them. So righteous are the ones that are doing his will. And he delivers them out of all their troubles. And he's the one, of course, that brings these troubles. He delivers us into them and he can take us out of them. In verse 18, if we fail that temptation, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. So he knows that we may not pass all these tests. Nevertheless, he's near those that are of a broken heart and saves those that are of a contrite spirit. So that's the spirit we need to have every time we do wrong. Many are the afflictions of the righteous in verse 19, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So our God is working and he is encouraging us, no matter what happens, to do what is right. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, Isaiah 66, verse 2, God doesn't expect perfection of his children, even if we do. For all those things hath mine hand made, and those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. So he's saying, I made all these things, they're all mine, including the souls. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. So there's no need to tremble at God's word unless we've done wrong. Well, of course, when we do wrong, we need to tremble. If we have a contrite spirit and a broken heart, he does hear and will encourage us to overcome that weakness. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, Proverbs 28, verse 13, even if men don't have mercy on the contrite and broken spirit, God does. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses them and forsakes them shall have mercy. So if we confess our sins to the Lord and we forsake that sin, he will have mercy on us. This is a promise. So John, the 8th chapter, verses 7 through 9, John 8, 7 through 9, men may not forgive, but the Lord does forgive the repentant heart. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Well, if they had thought about their sinning at that present time, they would all pick up a stone. But obviously they were thinking of things that happened in their past lives. And again, he stooped down on the and wrote on the on the ground. And when they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So Jesus did not even condemn this adulteress in John 8, verse 11. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." So she needed to repent, but nevertheless, God forgave her fully. So he did encourage her to quit her wickedness, but she lived to have a chance to change her ways. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26, we do need help on a regular basis, and God will help us if we submit to him. And we need to understand that we're not alone in this thing, that God does give us help, even in our worship. John 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We just don't know it. But who does know it? But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. He does know what we need, and he makes groanings which cannot be uttered, so it can't be put into words. But the Father then knows the mind of the Spirit. So there is a being who pleads for us, whatever sin we're involved in. He also makes intercession that we'll overcome our weakness and be strong. And we should join with the Holy Spirit in that pleading and interceding. So we all desire to worship him more acceptably. And if that is the desire, the Spirit makes intercession for us. For we do need to become stronger, and his intercession can help us. In Hebrews 11:6, as we pray and worship him, we need to understand that our worship is not in vain, and that he will reward us for our worship. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That faith, of course, is the Greek being persuaded. So if we're not persuaded, then it's impossible for us to please him. For he that comes to God must believe, that is, be persuaded, that he is, he exists, and we must be persuaded he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And for whatever reason, that word diligently is not in the Greek. Of course, we do need to diligently seek him, but even if we seek him, he will reward us if we are persuaded that his promise is true. So he surely will reward those who seek him and believe he will be heard. So Proverbs 22, verses 17 and 18, the Lord also rewards those who apply their hearts to seek his ways. He tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. There's a command. We need to do that. And we need to apply our heart unto knowledge. So if we do that, then he tells us in verse 18, it is a pleasant thing, that is with God, if you keep them within thee, for they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. So if we apply our heart to his knowledge, we'll have that knowledge to speak to others. But we can apply our hearts to his words, and we can use the words of the wise to worship God. So in Psalms 25, verse 9, David is one of the wisest. And as he said, he's wiser than all of his teachers because he meditates in God's words. Psalms 25, verse 9, he teaches those who are meek enough to listen and diligently follow his direction. They're the ones that he teaches. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. That word meek in the Old Testament is the word anav, which is to be humble. And it includes both meekness and humility in the Old Testament. So if we're humble, he will guide us in judgment. We need to seek his ways. And that's how we humble ourselves, and he will teach us his ways. So Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2 now, we come down to his benefits. David had sought the Lord and knew how to worship in spirit and in truth. And so he commands his soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So here he understands all that's within him is not just his soul. We have a mind and a heart. And he says, bless his holy name, his authority. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his blessings. So again, this blessing the Lord, O my soul here, we're reminded of Nebuchadnezzar. And we all remember the statements in the Old Testament. The Lord knows us, that knows that even as Nebuchadnezzar had a different mind and different heart, he was still Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar himself, with that new mind and new heart, had to learn that God rules in the kingdoms of men. So our souls are what we are. Nebuchadnezzar's soul was what Nebuchadnezzar was. So God has given to each one of us a mind and a heart. And our work is to form that mind and heart and the heart that he gives us. But nevertheless, we have something deeper than the mind and heart. And David wanted his deepest part to bless the Lord. We also should desire that same thing. We are the ones who will desire that blessing of the Lord. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, Colossians 3 and verse 16, does this verse not show us how that we can worship God and in spirit and in truth by the Psalms? Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So to do that, we need to worship him in spirit and in truth in all wisdom. And he says, teaching and admonish one another in Psalms. So we can teach each other in these Psalms. There's great wisdom in them. Now, we have many different songs, but we really don't have many from the Psalms. And we need to have more of these and worship God in wisdom. And who had greater wisdom than the one that was used to write the Psalms? So he says, bless my soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and Psalms 103, verse 1, all that is within me. So David's not leaving out his mind and his heart. He wants to bless the Lord with all three parts of himself. So in James 1:17, who was the one that gave David this heart after his own heart? All that David was and still is today was from the Father of lights. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above. What about David's heart that was a heart after God's own heart? It came down from the Father of lights. God gave that heart to David because of his humility, because of his trust in the Lord, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. So could David have such a good heart if God had not given it to him? Well, we can have a heart to worship God and to have a heart after his own heart if God will give it to us also. So do we ask God for the heart that he gave David? Well, even greater, can we ask for the heart that God gave to Jesus? Jesus was a man like unto his brethren. If his brethren got a good heart, who had to give it to them? If Jesus got a good heart, who had to give it to him? Can that same one give that same heart to us? Well, we can ask for it. So in John, the fourth chapter, 23 and 24, Jesus informed the woman at the well that the hour would come when there would be a great change. John 4:23, but the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So in the Psalms, how many times does he tell us about David's physical sacrifices? We all know that in the Old Testament, the major part of their worship in the temple was with animal sacrifice, involved worshiping with animals and incense and food and so on. But in the New Testament, we're like David was in the Psalms and others in the Psalms, they worship God in spirit. So the change was that animal sacrifice would be taken away. Then there's only one other way to worship him. And that is in the inner man and in truth and concerning those things of the spiritual nature. So in John 4:20 and 21, Jesus spoke with a woman who was concerned about where to worship. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, verse 20, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So this woman, he says, you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. So he knew this woman was going to learn to worship in spirit and in truth and give up all of her animal sacrifices. So Jesus assured her that the where was not important, but the way we worship is all important. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, he tells one of the major ways that we are to worship him today. Hebrews 13, verse 15, but let by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. All right, so we can offer this sacrifice of praise. So that's not a physical thing, that is a spiritual thing, and he calls it a sacrifice here. And that sacrifice is, he says, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So that giving thanks here is 3670 in the Greek, literally to acknowledge or to assent to agree with his authority. So if we agree with his authority, even in words, we're offering the sacrifice of praise to God. And we need to do that continually to acknowledge his authority. And Brother John is helping us on Sunday mornings to understand more fully how to acknowledge that authority. So we're actually worshiping as we deal with these scriptures, assenting to his authority. So Psalms 103 verse 2, Psalms 103 verse 2, then the third thing there, as he repeats, bless the Lord, O my soul, and he adds now, forget not all of his benefits. All right, again, we pointed out that the blessing was to kneel before his him, and we need to forget not all his benefits. So we need to keep his benefits in mind. What is a benefit? Benefit is something that benefits us. It helps us. So we tend to forget God's benefits and all the blessings that he gives us every day, both physical and spiritual. We need to keep reminding ourselves of these blessings. This is one of the ways we worship him. Note also, this kind of worship centers on the ways God benefits men. And in the remainder of the psalm, God uses David to list several of these benefits. So in Daniel, the fifth chapter, in verse 23, we see one of the benefits that we need to remember every day, all day, and it's not hard to remember. Psalms 5:23, but thou, and he's talking to Belshazzar, have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine in them. So that's an insult to God. They were not for drinking ordinary wine. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. But the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. So Belshazzar's breath was in God's hand. And our breath is also in his hand. How many times do we breathe? Every minute, every day. So it is right to bless God for the breath that we breathe 24 hours a day. So we often ask the Lord to not to take the Lord's death for granted, but what about all these benefits? And I appreciate the prayer tonight that we ask the Lord not to let us forget all these good things he does for us. So we're not taking them for granted. And we do, though, take them all for granted, unless we're thinking about these on a regular basis every day. We should be thinking about these, which is a kind of worship. So then he goes on in Psalms 103, verse 3, don't forget his benefits. And then he lists, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. So here, he forgives all of our iniquities. And of course, every time we disobey a command, we need to praise him for the hope that we have of overcoming these iniquities. And even if we sin, we still can thank you for the hope. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, we can also praise him that he makes a way for us to take these sins away from between us and him. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He can. He can save us and he can hear us. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So we need to have those sins taken away from between us and God immediately. As soon as we find we've done something wrong or not done something right, we need to ask the Lord immediately to take those sins away. That's one of the great blessings that he has and our benefits that he has given to all of us. Remember when Adam and Eve were put out of the garden for eating some fruit? So what's more wrong than eating fruit than some of the things that we do? Well, God put them out of the garden and took away all the benefits that he gave them to show them what he thought of their sin. Well, what does he think of our sin then when it's worse than eating fruit? Of course, it was disobeying the command of God and they did not understand. We may not understand, but nevertheless, what should we do? And what do we do if we don't listen to what he says? So Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, as Brother John pointed out this morning, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So whether we understand what he commands us to do or whether we don't understand, nevertheless, his ways are the right ways. And our ways are not his ways, so we don't need to try and figure this out. We just need to listen to him and do exactly what he says. Of course, we do need to try and understand, but nevertheless, even if we don't understand, what do we do? So he's not preparing us to remain here on earth where men are full of weaknesses and iniquities. He is preparing us through his divine thoughts to live with divinity and with angels. We need to be trained to be thankful for all he does for us every single day. We need to train ourselves in this. It is worship. And he says we need to keep this in mind continually. All right, Psalms 100, verse 3. There's not Psalms 103, it's Psalms 100, verse 3. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In every prayer, we should acknowledge that we do not belong to ourselves because we've not created ourselves. We are fully dependent on him for our very existence, and we're fully dependent on him for our continued existence. And he said, in him, that is in Christ, everything consists, it exists. So Christ is the reason why we are continuing to stay here on this earth. So every breath that we breathe, every moment of every day, every thought that we have, every good thing that comes, we should be thankful every moment, every time God gives us something good, which is our breath and everything else, every moment of every day. So we surely have a definite part as God's children to our Father to thank him for all these things regularly and constantly. So we also must keep in mind that the father raises the children. The children don't raise themselves, and the children don't raise the father. Well, they're not supposed to. And the father then can raise us. We can't raise ourselves. So when God tells us in Hebrews 12 that he is our father, we need to remember that. Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So if he's received us, he's in a process. He's scourging chastening us every day. So if we endure this chastening, God deals with us as with sons. So we need to watch for that chastening every day. What if we don't see it? What if we give men credit for all these bad things that happen? What if we give credit to our government for every good thing that the government does? Well, we're not listening to his chastening if we give men credit for anything. If it were not for God creating them, what would they give us? And if it were not God actually giving us the gifts that are good, that only he knows are good, How would we grow in Christ? In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, as long as our sins are between us, at least his training is hindered. So we need to not forget all of his benefits. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, the wives, according to knowledge. So we need to know what the Lord requires of us concerning our wives, giving honor unto the wife. So if we don't honor our wife in every time, guess what happens? He says, as unto the weaker vessel, we need to acknowledge, we need to honor her. Though she's weaker in vessel, she does need help from those that are stronger from time to time. And we need to be willing and able to give that help. It's a blessing. We're serving God when we serve our wives as being heirs together of the grace of life. So we should never forget, we're trying to get to be inheriting together of the favor of God's eternal life. And he says, if we don't do that, our prayers will be hindered. So we need to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. We need to acknowledge everything that God commands us to do with our wife. We need to love them as our own bodies. And if we don't, the Lord is going to be, our prayers are going to be hindered before the Lord. So 1 John, the third chapter, verses 19 through 21, we should honor all men, but we should particularly honor those that God commands us specifically to honor, which is never to be ashamed to them. 1 John 3, verse 19, our hope is surely in the God of heaven who encourages us. Remember in John 3, 19, and hereby know we that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Why? For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So God is greater than our hearts. We should never be discouraged. We should always be trying harder to do his will. And God is the one that knows all things. He does know how to form our hearts. And he causes these things to happen so our hearts will be formed. And he causes these things to happen to some. And then at the very same time, causes other hearts to be formed because of the weakness of one heart. So we need to remember that God is still working with us, even though it may be someone else who's done wrong. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Even in the Old Testament, God made a way for man to have his sins removed far from him. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. It's a promise. Back in Psalms 130, it's not 103, it's Psalms 130, verses 3 and 4. Without God's forgiveness, we would not even be able to fear him. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? That's mark them in the sense of no forgiveness. But there is forgiveness with thee. Why? That thou mayest be feared. So if we didn't have a chance for forgiveness, there's no need fearing God. We're going to be punished anyway. But because he does forgive, then we can fear him. And we do need to fear him until we have that perfect love. We need to be afraid to disobey his commands. So why is there forgiveness in this verse? So we can have a chance to fear him if he doesn't forgive. So we should immediately fear and ask God immediately as soon as we do something wrong. We may not understand how this forgiveness, his forgiveness gives us the ability to fear him, but he says it does. So we can be thankful for the fact, even if we don't fully understand how that happens. All right, now we're back in Psalms 103, verse 3. We're listening to the benefits that he gives us, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. So in 2 Kings 13, verse 14, the Lord does heal our diseases. And we need to acknowledge that. We don't just naturally get better. God is the one that does every good and perfect gift, and good health is what? It's not a bad gift. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. So that's how Elisha died. So if a man who is a Christian dies of sickness, then he doesn't need to worry, because Elisha was a very definitely favored prophet with God, and he died of a sickness. So that may be the way God takes us out. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." So Josiah then is killed by a foreign nation, by Pharaoh, because he didn't believe Pharaoh's words to him. And the Lord killed Josiah, who was more righteous than all the other kings. Well, that was just the way God took Joash out of this life. And he could have used some other way, but that didn't mean that he was unhappy with Joash, Josiah rather. But that's just the way he took him out of this world. So it really doesn't matter how God takes us out of the world. It matters what our heart is when he takes us out. And Psalms 38, verse 7, David does not refer to physical disease here when he describes his spiritual sickness in this psalm. Psalms 38, verse 7. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. And of course, it's his mind that was doing all this to his flesh. And the mind definitely does affect the flesh, but it wasn't his physical body that was sick. It was his heart that was sick for all that he had done wrong. And of course, our heart can be sick for what we do wrong in the same way. In Matthew 15, 16 through 20, the eternal sickness is in the spiritual heart where the evil abides. That's the healing that we need. And Jesus said, Matthew 15, 16, "Are you also yet without understanding?" Well, we need to understand this fully, not just a little bit. "Do you not yet understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught?" That physical food is nothing. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, a heart that's already formed. And they defile the man. Why? Because out of the heart proceed all these things that are in the heart: evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. So here, the outward things are not what defile us. It's what's in the heart that we need to cleanse. And it's a process. And here, even his disciples are having these things in their hearts that they need to get out. Well, there's hope for us if we have a mind to do all the will of God. So Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. "O generation vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So their hearts were wicked. How could they speak good? They couldn't. The words that sounded good to the people around them were hypocritical words. They weren't good words. So the Pharisees were blind to their evil hearts and the evil in their hearts, because their hearts had not turned to find and do all the will of God. And that's the way it is with everybody in the world who's not determined to set their heart and prepare their heart to seek to do all the will of God. And Luke 16, verses 13 and 14. Luke 16, 13 and 14. They love the world and they love the praise of men, would not give it up. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and did they repent? Did they agree? No, they made fun of him. They derided him. So we must purify our hearts by trusting him to seek and to do all of his will. And he is greater than our hearts. He knows how to form our hearts. As long as we have that will to do his will, we can never lose that, or we've lost our souls. So finally, in Psalms 103, verse 12, would like forgiveness to be the end of the matter, but the end of the matter is not finished. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Well, that's true. Nevertheless, in Psalms 99, verses 8 and 9, God forgives our sins, but his eternal work has only just begun when he forgives us. He says, thou answered them, namely Samuel and Moses and Aaron and Samuel. Thou answered them, O Lord our God, thou wast a God that forgave them, though thou tookest vengeance of their invention. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. So there's his work here. He just begins to work with us because he showed us the weakness in our hearts when we sin. And then he does forgive us, and he'll work with us as long as we work with him. And he will take vengeance of our inventions. Why? Because his work has just begun in that taking vengeance. He does these things so that we will listen and turn. What did he do with David? He made the sword to stay with David the rest of his life. He killed the child immediately or within 7 days, and the sword would not depart from David's house all his days. He also shamed him in the sense of revealing everything to everybody. And yet God was still working with David. David endured it, and he repented and continued to walk righteously before God. So there's nobody like David. So no matter what happens, we need to be thankful to God for everything and bless his holy name for directing all these things for our good. We'll have the closing hymn now.